This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
It is Radio City Talk. It is full time and it's 2 minutes after four. I'm Connor Phillips. But because it is Wednesday afternoon, it means that you and your other half or your friends or loved ones or maybe on your very own are thinking, I'd like to toddle off to the cinema box this weekend. And who better to give you an idea as to what's happening on the aforementioned cinema box than Michael Fowler, our movie savant.
Hello.
On Radio City Talk, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. I've just got to say, off air, Connor was just trying to trick me into watching the Entourage film.
Yeah, I watched Entourage this week. So Michael normally comes in and we have a little debrief as to what you've watched this week. And we normally got something a little bit highbrow. We go, yeah, what have you seen? Yeah, I've seen that new independent picture starring that actress that nobody ever heard of. And he came in there now and says, what did you watch? I said, Entourage. And should I be feeling a little bit of shame for that?
Well, no, but like, I just feel like you're trying to trick me. You say, oh, it's not as bad as everyone says. When I kind of feel that it probably is.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Oh,
I wasn't working in cinema back then.
It splits opinion. What is? It's probably what, 18 months old, is it? It splits
is
opinion.
It? Just 18 months?
I'm not sure. I'll have a
the
little look.
The TV show was ages ago.
Yeah, the TV show was donkeys ago. But they made the movie. It was last year, I think.
Yeah.
Got a release.
With Eyebrows McGee in the lead role. Is that his name?
Adrien Garnier, is it?
Is that his name?
Eyebrows McGee is now his name.
I thought it was that.
His name is now Eyebrows McGee. So if you've seen Entourage, let me know what you thought of it. It polarises people. I thought it was okay. It wasn't a waste of my evening. I know some people who went to see it and went, it literally was a waste of breath, my evening and the filmmaker's time, but it was okay.
And your fiancé, what did she make of it?
She was not there. She was at work.
Did you watch it on your own?
I watched it on my own. My other half, she has got a rather tough work life. Occasionally she's working very, very, very late indeed. She's one of those people who appears on telly doing news and stuff. She was away. I was like, I'm not going to have her for a couple of hours. Let's just fill the time. And I watched Entourage. It wasn't awful. Fair. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about me watching Entourage, right? I'm a wee bit ashamed of myself. Tell me how things are at Fact Cinema at the moment.
Really good. We had Fan Footage Festival last week, which was hilarious. If we get it back, I don't think anyone should miss it. We should put it in a bigger screen and have so many more people.
So what was it last week and the last couple of weeks? Actually, you told us what was going to happen I couldn't reconcile in my head what it actually was.
So if you put it bluntly, it's two fellas, they're comedians, they stand in front of the cinema screen and play found video footage that they've trawled through like charity shops and car boot sales to find these mad VHS tapes. They've edited them together, so it's hilarious, and then they do like a running commentary over it. So essentially it's two guys playing you silly clips from really stupid videos.
So it would appeal to people who end up going to bed at 11 o'clock at night and go, oh, I'm going to get an early night here, and all of a sudden you're looking, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're on them silly Facebook videos that people post. Would it appeal to those people?
Exactly, yeah. It's made for kind of that YouTube generation of like looking through funny clips and stuff like that. It's absolutely hilarious and I really hope we get it back for another year next year.
Right, there's lovely stuff happening at the Fact Cinema this week. We'll talk about it in a wee while. There's more, as there is every single week, more things happening down there. Everything from festivals to movies that you won't see anywhere else. We'll talk about them right throughout this afternoon. But Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema, let's have a quick look at the UK box office top five. At number five, Logan.
We got ourselves an X-Men fan. Maybe a quarter of it happened. And not like this. In the real world, people die.
Logan.
I don't want to talk about it.
Logan.
Just stop.
Be careful.
And we're down.
She's like you. Very much like you.
I am not whatever it is you think I am.
She needs our help.
Someone will come along.
Someone has come along.
It's Logan. It is currently box office number five. It is the Wolverine movie. I still love that song. I love that song. We're still not sure who
it's
sings
like a,
it.
A wailing dog. Well, a soulful dog.
We thought it potentially was Johnny Cash, but it wasn't Johnny Cash. Nah, but if
it's definitely not Johnny Cash song. Yeah. But there is Johnny Cash in the film.
What is that song? Anybody knows?
I think Dave was saying it was a remix. Or they used, but I don't think that's true.
Right. Dave behind the glass is going to have a little look for us at the minute. Yeah, we said that last week and we still didn't work out who it was. But anyway, he's still saying it's Johnny Cash in my ear. Tell me about this movie for anyone, for the four people left in the world who haven't seen it.
So we take Wolverine from the X-Men and we put him 30 years into the future. He's not got his healing powers anymore and he's caring for Professor Xavier, played by Patrick Stewart, who's now in stages of Alzheimer's, which, you know, is a really interesting idea to take with a character that uses telepathy. And basically the whole start of the film is about him and care for the Patrick Stewart, and then also his kind of, well, like a daughter figure, would you say?
I would say definitely. Well, it's not spoiling anything because the trailers make it very clear that there is a young lady that he feels.
Yeah,
it's a paternal
relationship, and so a lot of
that's the essence of the movie, his struggle with that.
Yeah, so it's like a science fiction superhero film that basically is about care and family,
right?
Which, you know, that hour and a half of the film, I think, is just brilliant. It loses its way a little bit at the end and becomes a bit of an X-Men fighting
film. We haven't had this discussion actually on the radio, and I remember you saying this just before I went to see it. I think I would have felt a little bit shortchanged if I didn't get a little bit of an X-Man vibe in it. So Mike, that's not spoiling anything. As with a lot of these movies, it kind of crescendos at a big action scene.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's no different than that. And it did get a bit X-Men-y. And I remember you coming in here and having a little bit of an issue about that. And I remember watching it at the time and thinking, this is what Michael's talking about. But I left it thinking, if I didn't get that, I think I would be... Having Wolverine go whoosh, whoosh, a couple of times and get into a couple of fights, I need a little bit of X-Men. So I kind of think that balance was right.
Do you think they could have done it better, though? It wasn't as a final crescendo fight scene. Like, it wasn't anything different to other X-Men films, really. It was just a lot of people fighting and getting stabbed and things.
Well, I think what they did very well with it, because what they did with the movie, they tried to sort of highlight the isolation that Logan goes through. Mm. He's a singular character. He has been right throughout the X-Men, right? He doesn't need anybody around him. And even the crescendo we're talking about, again, we're not spoiling it for anybody, it was a very Logan / Wolverine crescendo.
He ends up finding loads of people that love him.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Yeah. He's not fully sure how to love them back, and it takes him a long time to love them back. But I think we're getting into spoiler territory here.
But again, this is the thing. That's been done. That's every X-Men film, and it got a bit X-Men-y. But I can't fault how good the first hour and a half was. It's unbelievable, and like everyone says, it was. It's one of the best superhero films ever made.
Really looking forward to seeing what Hugh Jackman does next. I don't want to see him singing and dancing anymore. He can do that. We know that. He's done a Broadway show. He's done Les Mis and stuff like that as well. But I want to see him do something. I'd love to see him do more character acting.
Yeah. Well, what has he really done? He's it was the robots one. That was a bit of an action-y one. Do you remember? It was like a father and son. They made robots
indeed.
Together. That was quite good.
Yeah, that was a good one, actually. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. But listen, that's number 5 in the UK box office. At number 4, Kong Skull Island, still in there. Yeah. I said to you about a month ago, I didn't think this would make its money back. Wow, how wrong was I?
Yeah, a mishmash of a film, but what do you want monsters to do? Do you want them to mish and mash and destroy stuff?
I want to find out about their inner struggle with life.
Yeah, they do a bit of a backstory for Kong in this, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, actually they do. He's almost like Batman in a way.
Do you see Kong. Him like as a little small baby gorilla?
I wish, wouldn't that have been cute?
Wouldn't it?
Oh. They missed a trick not doing a flash. A little cute baby car.
Little baby gorilla the same size as a mini.
And they could have sold the toy to everyone. Oh, yeah, I just bought that. Oh, my God. They missed a trick.
Hold on a second. Who's made Kong? It is a 20th Century Fox. We'll drop an email here.
Yeah, write a letter and then we'll get a prequel.
It's still going away. Like there's this week, nearly £1.5 million in the UK
Kong,
box office.
Kong backstory. I wonder what he did in the meantime.
He was taken into, it wasn't your ordinary zoo, it was a mutant zoo, and he decided this was not for him.
Yeah, so he moved away, got on the first plane.
He broke out. And he
swam.
He swam in the depths of night when nobody would see him.
To Skull Island.
Oh, listen, we don't want to head into spoiler territory if you haven't seen it.
An uncharted island.
Let me list all the ways you're going to die. Rain, heat, disease-carrying flies, and we haven't started on the things that want to eat you alive.
We'll double that.
Plus a bonus if we make it back.
If?
That's calm. He's God on the island.
We don't belong here.
But the devils live below us. I call them skull crawlers.
Why?
Because it sounds neat.
Okay.
Look, I just made that name up. I'm trying to scare you.
I'm fine calling them that. Are you cool with it?
Yeah, that seems like a
good
idea.
I like the name.
Run! Right, number 5 in the UK box office is Logan. Number 4 is Kong Skull Island. Number 3, not a surprise, My Words. Number 2 is going to blow me away. I am both fearful, excited and a little bit worried all in one. And the number one movie in the UK box office is rather special as well. We'll talk through the last remaining movies to take us to the top of the UK box office with Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema next here on Radio City Talk. Let's get number 3 out of the way. Get Out. It is a horror-based slash... What is it? It's a mixture between horror and racial exploration all mixed into one, which is quite different.
It's a horror comedy, about race and
is
and
there comedy
racism.
In this? Proper comedy?
Yeah. There's the way the story set out is you've got Daniel Kaluuya plays a young black man in America and he's going out with a white girl. She invites him back to her parents for the weekend, and you know he's meeting the parents and he's also worried that she's not told them that he's black, and then he has this friend called Rodney, and I don't know who the actor is, but he's the comic relief. So when anything gets a bit too tense and scary, and this film is very, very scary, Rodney will then be brought in. He'll call Daniel Kaluuya's character and just have you in stitches.
So tell me about the actual way in which they can do it through comedy, right? There's obviously some social issues in it as well. Like you said, it's a very white family that brings a black boyfriend home into the house and yet can still be a horror. This is what I can't work out in my head and how well this would work together.
Well, so this just... things just aren't all what they seem. So when he arrives back at this house, there's two people working for the family who don't quite seem like themselves. And although the father is saying that he'd vote for Obama for a third term, him and the family are saying things that just aren't quite right. They're not. They don't think they're saying racist things, but they are saying. Things that aren't, you shouldn't say.
Is that little Rod there? Lil Rel Howerly?
Yeah, he's hilarious. Really funny actor. I think he says at the very start to Daniel Kaluuya's character, you don't want to be going to, you don't want to be going to this family. Like, they don't know you're black. They're just going to sell you as a sex slave.
Right, there you go. That's the level this movie's at. So get yourself on, go and watch it. It is number 3 in the UK box office. Baffled, blown away, scared, and a little bit intrigued as to what is number 2 in the UK box office. I'll talk about it next on Radio City Talk.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
It's Radio City Talk. I'm Connor Phillips, joined by Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema here in Liverpool. You'd think two relatively well-educated, we like to see ourselves as intelligent guys who wouldn't have been spending the entire break watching a man dressed up as a bush scare people on the internet.
it's bringing a tear to my eye.
Yeah, that's what we were doing during the break. I just let you know.
They're actually terrified, these people.
They are.
And the grief they're giving him afterwards.
Yes. Oh, to be a man dressed up as a bush in America. No, thank you. Anyway, listen, it's nothing to do with movies. This is Movie Talk on Radio City Talk. This is full time here till 6:30 this evening. Right, coming up after 6:30 this evening, it is all about the Blue Room. Everton fans, get yourself ready. I'm sure You're going to want to have a little bit of Everton impetus, specifically going into the weekend's game. That is a game against Liverpool. The Merseyside Derby is on, so make sure you tune into the Blue Room this evening from 6:30. David Downey going to be in there, all the lads talking about everything from Seamus Coleman's injury right through to the other injuries that are starting to spread themselves within the Everton setup. Funes Mori and Schneiderlin as well, and it's all on the Blue Room at 6:30 this evening on Radio City Talk. Right, Michael Fowler. The number two movie in the UK box office at the moment is what? This scares me.
Power Rangers.
Yes!
I say that with a question mark. I can't believe that this has been made into a film.
What are your memories and, or indeed your views on the Power Rangers, A, as a TV programme and B, as a movie?
I never really liked the Power Rangers.
Neither did I.
I loved everything else that was like stupid and in your face and had a toy. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was all over that.
All over that. Sadly, that terrible movie by Michael Bay recently was upset me.
But I fell out with my other half over that because I didn't hate it.
Oh, I was just so disappointed by it.
Megan Fox was awful in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the turtles were actually okay.
Yeah, they were kind of fun. It just wasn't really that interesting.
So is this what we can expect here? Number two already in the box office. The Power Rangers have been out of our consciousness for a long enough period that it's strange to think in my eyes that they've got an audience here.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised at all because it was a big deal. I remember a lot of my mates were into it, but it was always that same format. That you'd have, you know, they had a monster, they fight the monster, they beat the monster, and I imagine the film will be exactly the same.
Do you feel weird?
We're strong.
Insanely strong.
The answer to what is happening to you is here. You five are the Power Rangers.
Did I just hear you say we're Power Rangers?
Is this some kind of joke? We're talking to a wall.
I was kind of expecting a little more.
No one means to have all that power. You were born for this.
I will destroy everything.
She is pure evil.
How do you expect us to stop her?
It's morphin' time.
This is your time.
Go Power Rangers!
I've got to add the other thing in that once they beat the baddie comes back and grows bigger, and then they grow bigger but beat the baddie. That was like, it was a really tired format.
It certainly sounds a little bit different than this. It's the original. Power Rangers or something. I have a producer singing this in my ear.
That's a really good song, though.
There wasn't much thought behind it. Go, go, Power Rangers.
It's when you got a riff.
Key change.
But when, like, the riff's that solid, do you need to say anything more than go, go, Power Rangers?
It's morphin' time.
It just needs to be something that kids can chant as they're pretending to be the Power Rangers, doesn't it?
I remember there was a Power Rangers scandal as well. One of the Power Rangers was very, very much misbehaved, and his Power Ranger was discontinued.
I think there's a lot of things like one of them has recently.
It's no longer finally, with us.
No, I think one of them actually has been arrested for killing someone.
Well, I think my consciousness is telling me that potentially could be what I'm thinking about. We can't give that any credence because it's a completely different different setup.
There's an interesting cast with the new one. You know, Bryan Cranston is playing the main guy, Zordon.
Right, hold on. We've got a minute to news. Zordon, I believe it's he's called. Zordon, I'm hearing in my ear from the Power Rangers fraternity and behind the glass there. Honestly, Dave, the producer, spent 15 minutes talking about nothing else but Power Rangers before the show. So I'm not kidding you. I'm worried for Bryan Cranston. Is he phoning it in now for the check? Haven't seen. What was that other movie this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm Your Man.
I'm Your Man.
Is that?
And now the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It seems like a world away from Walter White and Breaking Bad.
Don't worry, I'm sure he'll be back. Like he's only nominated for an Oscar last year for Trumbo, so I think he'll be fine.
He'll do okay with himself. Yeah, right, yeah. What is number one in the UK box office? Well, I can tell you, number five is Logan, number four is Kong Skull Island, number three is Get Out, number two is the... Hold on a second, do I have to do this again? That's all you're getting. What is number one? Find out after the headlines. It is Radio City Talk. It's exactly 4:30.
The mum of a man wanted in connection with a suspected hit and run in St. Helens, which killed a 4-year-old girl, has made an emotional appeal for him to come home. Violet Grace Ewins died on Saturday after she was struck by a stolen car. 23-year-old Aidan McAteer is believed to have fled the country a few hours after the crash. The countdown to the UK leaving the EU has officially begun today after Theresa May triggered Article 50. A letter was delivered to Brussels earlier today, which means the formal negotiations can now begin. And Leon Osman believes Romelu Lukaku can get Champions League football with Everton if he's patient. Lukaku shocked the Blues by turning down a new contract earlier this month, saying he wants to play in Europe's top competition. Osman says Lukaku might be in for a shock if he leaves Goodison, though.
I'm not sure how many teams are out there that would be similar if he went to one of the so-called top teams in Europe.
There's more on our website.
This is Radio City Talk Sport.
Starting with cricket, Pakistan fast bowler Mohammad Afifran has been banned for a year by the Pakistan Cricket Board for twice failing to report approaches by bookmakers linked to spot fixing. The 7-foot-1 bowler was one of three players suspended after an anti-corruption investigation focused on Pakistani Super League. In football, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has confirmed he is in talks with Manchester United over a new contract, saying he never leaves a job unfinished. The 35-year-old has an option of a further 12 months after he signed from Paris Saint-Germain last summer. And finally, from an Everton perspective, Seamus Coleman will be released from hospital today as he begins the lengthy process of working his way back from a dual leg break. The Republic of Ireland boss Martin O'Neill confirmed the news after visiting his captain in hospital yesterday. O'Neill said Coleman was in good spirits 3 days after undergoing surgery to pin his broken tibia and fibula, which he sustained in a collision with Wales' Neil Taylor last Friday. We'll keep you updated with all your sporting news right throughout today. I'm Connor Phillips. You are up to date.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Right, it is 4:31. I'm Connor Phillips, joined by Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema. And the number one movie at the UK box office this weekend, Beauty and the Beast.
The beloved animation turned into reality with the lovely Emma Watson and the very fine-looking gentleman, Dan Stevens.
So tell me about it. Tell me how it's been received. It's number one for the second week in a row. How is it received, in fact? Did you fill it up?
Everyone's loving it. Yeah. I couldn't believe how... The Jungle Book did really well, in fact. And then Beauty and the Beast was just something else. Yeah, we got so... We do a thing called Big Scream, and that's where... mums and dads can bring their children under one, their babies under one, along to see the films on a Wednesday morning, and that one for Beauty and the Beast was just ridiculous. I called it Pramageddon. It was just, we had like prams all over floor two. They're up and down lining the backs of the cinema and the front. Fire safety codes were in check, don't worry. But it was just packed. It was a full house, and I think people are really loving this film.
For some reason, The Killers of Mr. Brightside started rather than
Beauty and the Beast.
What was supposed to happen there, I have no idea why. We've just reconfigured the desk here. What was supposed to happen there is this. Calling out of my cage and I'm doing just fine.
You must leave here. This castle is alive.
Who's there?
Do you wish to take your father's place?
Come into the light.
Show me the girl.
I'm not afraid.
Hello?
set up for Emma Watson, even just hearing that little bit at the end, Beauty and the Beast. I'd love
to see the Killers remix of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yes, indeed. I do apologise. If Emma Watson is listening, I do apologise, Emma. I know you're a big fan of the show. You are not, indeed. The Killers, number one in the UK box office at the moment. So any surprises for you? So number five was Logan. Number four, Kong Skull Island. Number three, Get Out. Number two, Power Rangers. And at number one, Beauty and the Beast. Any surprises?
I'm surprised Power Rangers has done so well, but maybe I'm also not so surprised. It was beloved by a lot of my classmates. Used to love it when I was in primary school. And that's the kind of thing of way films have been made, aren't they? Now we take stuff that was nostalgic and then put a new spin on it and put them out. Tell you what, though, new film out this Friday that I've seen.
Is this the one that we built up a couple of weeks ago and then you even gave free tickets away to see not only the director but also some of the stars as well at Fact Cinema?
It was indeed. It was
What is that?
Free Fire by Ben Wheatley.
Tell me about it.
So it's about a gun deal that goes terribly wrong, and it's all set in this one Boston warehouse. So there's some guys from the IRA are trying to buy guns from these really raggle-taggle arms dealers that are just... everyone's a little bit of an idiot, but then they just things go a little bit wrong and the firing starts. It's just gunshots everywhere, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Here he is.
Thousand apologies. Hate it when people are tardy. It's good to meet you, boys. Thanks for coming out.
Justine. As gorgeous as ever.
Well, you've put on a bit of weight.
Check out the merch.
That's not what he ordered.
He ordered M16s, different weapon.
You want the weapons or you don't want the weapons? We'd like to leave with our money.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that you boys would like to leave with the weapons. Go for the case.
What?
You're a bird, and I'm going to shoot the bird.
That's Free Fire. That is, well, I was going to say that's the trailer. You know what?
That wasn't the trailer.
A round of applause needs to be created for my producer behind the glass today. He spent literally hours trying to get the swear words out of Free Fire.
Yeah.
And fair play to him, he did. And he kept the essence of the film in there as well.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed to get in this film to be so widespread, because there is not a single trailer out there of it that doesn't have the F word in it.
Well, to use I can't use the Father Tedism. They don't like that. So Cillian Murphy's in it. Charlton Copley's in it. Is this enough of the small talk?
Yeah, just Brie Larson.
Just sell me the thing guns.
Yeah, there's lots of swearing in this film. If you don't like swearing, you're probably not going to like it.
Is it Martin McDonagh-esque? Does it have that vibe and feel to it?
Definitely, yeah. Lots of kind of... but then maybe more kind of old action films of the 80s. Like, definitely the wit of Martin McDonagh, but with... It's like they've tried to make... like a Tom and Jerry film with swearing and guns and like Arnold Schwarzenegger like one-liners. Great fun.
The one-liners are in it, yeah.
Oh yeah, like it's every time someone's shot, they'll say something, and go and see it. The suits are great. The performances are strong, and it's like a 12-strong cast of brilliant actors. You've got Cillian Murphy, Armie Hammer, Michael Smiley, Brie Larson, Charlton Copley. I don't know why I'm struggling, but there's so many good performances then in there. Oh, who's the man from the BBC drama about the Nazis taking over Britain?
That's a very good question.
It's on BBC at the moment. He's in it as well.
Oh.
Everyone's screaming it. He was in Control.
0151 708 1059. Give us a shout and let us know what you think. It's called Free Fire, right? So I'll tell you what. I'll do this with the internet. I'll say Free Fire. So who, what would you like?
Sam Riley.
Is that the name you're looking
That's
for?
The name I'm looking for.
Okay, good. You caught me mid-Google. So what would you like if you go and see this?
Action films. Like Tarantino is an obvious one to say. Watching the film, I didn't really... It's all set in one space, so it's kind of a bit like Reservoir Dogs, but it's not filmed like that at all. It's all set in one space.
So set in one space, swearing, bloodshots, bloodshed, and guns. It sounds like Reservoir Dogs to me.
Yeah, definitely. But with Reservoir Dogs, you had all the backstory of what led up to the reason them going there, and there was like the mystery of who's the person that is the rat. But then in this, it really is just 12 people in a room trying to get out of it safely, but they're all still wanting to kill each other.
So what's that called?
Free Fire.
When is it out?
It's out this Friday.
Go and see it at the Fact Cinema here in Liverpool. Back in a second, we've got Ghost in a Shell to look at, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. And if you're a fan of music within films, if you're a fan of music generally, and if you'd like to go down and see a little bit of this at the Fact Cinema in Liverpool, stay with me. Some brilliant information coming up next.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk. It is movie talk. We do it every single Wednesday afternoon. I'm Connor Phillips, joined by Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema. Tell me about The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is out this weekend at Fact Cinema.
Can I just do a little plug?
Of course you can.
I interviewed Ben Wheatley and Michael Smiley of Free Fire a few weeks ago, and I do a little podcast for our cinema. So if you'd like to listen to it, you can listen to it at Picture House Fact on SoundCloud.com.
Right, so if I just go on and I put Fact Cinema into my Google machine,
might not work. Maybe Picture House at Fact.
Picture House at Fact.
On SoundCloud.
Yeah. On SoundCloud. Yeah, right, yeah. So go to SoundCloud, have a little listen, source it out. How was he?
Oh, he's such a funny guy. And Michael Smiley had me in hysterics. Just
he's
like
a lovely man.
They're both absolute wits. And, you know, when you see the types of films they make, like, you can, they're exactly like the people behind those films. Yeah.
Right. Now, you're always entitled to a plug.
Thank you very much.
And if you wish, I will even stick it out in our Twitter machine here shortly.
Oh, thanks.
And let the world see it. Right, so tell me about The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
So The Autopsy of Jane Doe. So father and son run a morgue in America. So the father's played by Brian Cox, not the astronomer.
Look at all those clouds and stars.
Not
him.
Okay. Not that one. Uh-huh. The actor Brian Cox, the older gentleman. And Emil Hirsch plays the son. And they receive this body into the morgue that is has been killed in very mysterious circumstances. No one really knows what. And then when they look inside her, she's been mutilated from the insides, but then there's no marks on the out.
Sheriff, what happened?
No ID, no fingerprints in the system. For now, she's a Jane Doe.
He needs my help right now. 11 o'clock, I'm all yours. Subject is in her mid to late 20s. Hair... brown.
Flood warning now.
Eyes. Gray.
What happened to you?
First, they bound her. Then they ripped out her tongue, poisoned her, paralyzed her, forced her to swallow the cloth. What is that?
Oh, I think we got the vibe of that one. Jane Doe, which is out. The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is coming out this weekend.
Yeah. So we got a very special screening of it. It's on Friday night at late, about 10 o'clock. And after it, we've got a recorded Q&A with the director.
Wow, so you can play it out and just go and sit and watch the Q&A?
Yeah, yeah. So we've not actually got it on like a full release. It's just this one screening on Friday night. It would just be a great popcorn movie. You go late, have a few drinks and just get scared the poop bejesus out of you.
Poop and bejesus, there you go. Two terms that I didn't think I'd hear in Radio City Talk this this afternoon into this evening. But alas, we have done, and there through the voice of Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema, we are talking movies and this is Movie Talk.
What? You mentioned Brian Cox.
I was gonna.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay.
I've been doing it all day.
You can throw poop in anytime you want to interrupt me.
Let's put the killers on.
The killers. Yeah, let's hit the wrong button again. If you have just tuned in, get on the podcast. You'll understand why. Brian Cox is in this, yeah, and which is it's full circle. Earlier on, we were talking about X-Men. He's in this, and he's in the. Is he in the second X-Men movie? 2003, yeah, yeah. I believe. I believe he won, or he was nominated for the best movie villain at the Teen Choice Awards.
Wow, they're a pretty well-regarded reward. Awards.
Is that the one where you get gunged?
No, that's a really highly regarded one. I want to go to that one.
Yeah. So Brian Cox in this one here. It's
can't imagine Brian Cox getting gunged or even going to the Teen Choice Awards.
Hey, don't knock Brian Cox. I think
he would have gone to the Teen Choice Awards. I reckon he would have made a film.
I think he would have got gunged.
Yeah.
I think Brian Cox would get gunged.
Yeah.
He seems
maybe I'm making judgments.
See, I can't hear him without seeing him in the X-Men or the Bourne movies.
Oh, the Bourne movies, of course. That's his most kind of iconic role, that he's the one who's like turned Bourne into who he is, isn't he?
Yeah, don't spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen Bourne, but even if you look at him, just looking at him here in normal life, there's a picture of him here at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's on his Wikipedia page. And then you see him in movies, he's quite different. He's always quite stoic and quite stern in his movies. But anyway, it is The Autopsy of Jane Doe. It is out this weekend. One single screening, in fact.
One single screening.
Right, go and see it. Get yourself on a Fact Cinema on the Tinterweb. Let's have a look at Ghost in the Shell, which is out this weekend as well.
Yes, so this is the adaptation from the anime from 20 years ago. It's all about this cyborg who is has been made to attack cyber terrorists. And so in 95, this was kind of... No one knew what the internet was.
It was pretty science fiction almost.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, there's loads of films in the late 80s and 90s where, like, the internet was going to take over the world and destroy everyone, like War Games. And this was kind of one of them. The internet's going to...
Hackers as well. Was
hackers,
it
hackers. Yeah. So the 90s anime is a lot about, like, hacking and things like that. And so they've adapted it into a live action film, and I think they've updated the story a little bit to make it seem a little less like silly with the internet. But you've got Scarlett Johansson in the lead role, and she just looks incredible. I think if anyone's seen Under the Skin, which she did a few years ago, where it was her driving around in a transit van around Scotland. Did you see that?
I do remember. Yes, it was a mixture between people who hadn't acted before, real life situations, and everything all mixed in together.
And
I remember that. Yeah.
And this really odd sci-fi. And I think the best I could relate the character to the character she's playing in Ghost in the Shell is something like that. So this would be a bit more Hollywood, a bit more like kung fu kicking, bit like shotgun shooting, and all this. But it looks mysterious and brilliant, and the director's really pulled off a visionary look into, if anyone who's a fan of the anime will have said that this is a real challenge to turn into a film, because although it looks like the streets of Hong Kong and Tokyo, there's a whole element of science fiction. I think it's almost like Blade Runner, you know, this kind of something we know, like places that we think look familiar with a total like nothing we've ever seen before. It's gonna be really good, and we're actually playing tonight because we didn't know that there was going to be a preview screenings of Ghost in the Shell. We're actually showing the anime tonight at 9 p.m.
Amazing.
And the new one at 9 p.m. as well. So if you want to catch the anime before you see the new film, you can catch it tonight at 9, and then the new live action one will be playing again tonight, but also on Thursday, Friday, the weekend, and all that.
So. Really good idea, and I think it sort of shows what type of movie this is when the production companies involved are Paramount, as you would expect, and DreamWorks as well. So it's almost a co-pro.
Good animation networks.
Huge animation networks, and that's what made me think of this is going to be the one that's going to be a little bit different. £120 million budget, though.
Yeah.
Does Scarlett Johansson have the heft to be able to carry that?
Well, I think that's why she's been cast, really, is that she's the person that's going to carry that. The anime will only take it so far. There's a lot of anime fans in Liverpool. We do quite a few anime screenings here, and they're so popular. Anime fans in Liverpool, I think, is one of the biggest communities in the Northwest, at least. We get a lot of things on Twitter asking for it. But that's only so far. Scarlett Johansson is the broad appeal, I think, of this film.
I like the fact it's only 106 minutes as well. It's not a massively long movie, over an hour and a half, which is so unusual.
Yeah, for these kind of films, they always seem to go on a bit when really they should be that short, sharp action film.
And they're really hammering the life out of this with regards to trying to get the publicity out there.
It is everywhere.
And I remember going to the movies prior to Christmas, and I said, the movies, where am I, America? Prior to Christmas.
The talkies.
The films. And they were showing a trailer, even though the movie wasn't fully edited and finished at the time. So they're really pushing hard, and £120 million budget, you kind of have to, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. That's why Deadpool did so well. And that's why the second Deadpool will do so well, is that they just advertised the hell out of it, and people were wanting to say, "Oh, what's Ghost in the Shell? What's Deadpool?
Is it going to be on buses?" I always worry when there's a poster of it on a bus that passes me.
Why?
I don't know. It always just feels like
it's quite a regular occurrence.
Well, no, it feels like they're going right. It's not going to do as well. How do we get people to go and see it? Buses, stick it on the side of buses. They've got a huge, big sort of empty space, and if people see it on the side of buses, they'll go right. We'll go to that because do you remember we seen that on the side of the bus? Because buses are always good crack.
I've always enjoyed bus posters.
Okay.
What annoys me is when you see it all the time and there's no variety, or it's if you see a film that's quite old and it's still on the bus. That annoys me.
In fact, it does completely the opposite to me. I love when I see a bus with, you know, Citizen Kane. Oh, well, that one's been about for a while. Anyway, let's finish off with something that's happening at the Fact Cinema, which we've been talking about quite extensively over the last couple of weeks. Just you and I having a bit of a chinwag off air is the Dock and Roll Festival. This is brilliant. This is for movie and music lovers alike.
Yeah. So it's a festival of music films, mainly independently made music films, and there's such artists used as Gregory Porter, Sleaford Mods, Sparkle Horse, The Melvins, The Orb. So I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners who are fans of the KLF. One of the members of the KLF helped start The Orb, and there's also a film about Norwegian dance music. It's just a really exciting festival. It's something we're hoping that will happen every year. Like a lot of these artists, you know, they're very niche, and so like bands like the Melvins, like some people might not have heard of them before, but then they've got like killer audiences of fans. And what's good about Duck and Roll is, I think, you know, it can not only open it out to find out about music that you've not heard about before, or to like discover a whole scene or a generation of music. It can also also just really fulfill fans' dreams to know more about the bands that they love.
Excellent. Get down and see it. It is happening. What, starts on Friday and finishes on Monday? Is that what it is?
Starts this Thursday with Northern Disco Lights, which is a film about Norwegian dance music. And it ends on Sunday night with Gregory Porter. One thing I should say, there's a guy who called Phil, and he does a blog called Coney's Loft, and he's interviewed nearly all of the directors that feature in Dock and Roll. And you can go and read all his interviews on Coney's Loft, and they're really good.
Go and have a little look at that. Search for Coney's Loft. What's his name?
He's called Phil, but Coney's Loft is the one you want to know.
Search for Phil and Coney's Loft. Right there, very quickly, what is your fact character of the week? It could be somebody in real life or one of those made-up people in the films.
Oh, Free Fire. I got to say, Michael Smiley in Free Fire, he's just wicked scary.
And your fact film of the week that we cannot miss?
Don't miss Free Fire, but if you do miss it, go and see Ghost in the Shell.
Okay, and in my ears, my producer saying Power Rangers. I might skip over that one this week. Back with more next week.